By this point, we know that Paul sure is a negative puppy.
Yes.
He sure has got a lot of gripes, and he's venting them, knowing that he's soon to die, and concerned that Timothy's fading.
Yes.
And not having the zeal, not having the courage, not having the stamina. One thing to fight a fight, and another thing to have the stamina to get up and fight some more. Because you will get knocked down, and you will have some rounds that you lose.
Yes.
So as Paul is continuing here at 2 Timothy in chapter 2, in verse 16, having told him to study and to be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, the other side of that coin,
yes,
is the profane and vain babblings. One of the things that is going to beset you will be people with profane and vain questions or objections to believing your Bible and believing mid-act Pauline dispensational right division.
Yes.
They'll come at you with all sorts of goofy stuff. And it's amazing how dull of hearing the average churchgoer is.
Yes.
One fellow's having a kitten over my recent radio broadcast talking about you have better than born again. He wants to be born again. And he's trying to make the point that, well, Jesus was talking to everybody in John 3:16. Yeah. Who wouldn't know that? He wasn't talking to them about the death, burial, and resurrection. And he came not but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. If a Gentile wanted in on it, he had to proselytize. Oh, don't talk to me about that. Because he says, you must be born again. You can't communicate. That's so profane and vain babblings. You're going to encounter them. You're going to read books. And they're going to be laced with profane and vain babblings.
Yes.
I have next to my computer desk a stack of books that sits as tall as I do from the floor. And as I prepare these lessons, when I've got a lesson pretty well done, then I start going through the books. And some of them are so silly that it's amazing to me that anybody ever listened to them. And then I remind myself, oh, you used to. And so there I am, you know. And perhaps the worst of the stack that I currently have at my desk is a fellow that I rather admired, old Gravel Gertie M.R. DeHaan.
Okay.
His exposition on these passages is so awful, it's almost funny at times. And yet, he says all the party line stuff, he quotes everything that's wrong, and I think to myself, well, there but for mid-Acts Pauline dispensationalism is exactly where you were trafficking those many years ago.
Absolutely.
So it's good to move away from the profane and the vain babbling.
Yes.
Now, we think of profanity as cuss words, and that's not far off. And the concept of demeaning anything that is of a Christ-like or God-like nature is now what people think is funny.
Yeah.
And to make fun of Christianity, to ridicule the Tim Tebows of the world and folks that are trying to say a little bit and make fun of him, why, my, that's just hilarious in certain circles. Meanwhile, we, being surrounded by it, I think means we need to get out of that pool.
Yes.
And not be a part of the profane. When the Lord Jesus was in his earthly ministry speaking to Israel, he told them not to swear by anything, not by the stars above or the earth beneath. And so now OMG has become a part of the Twitter vernacular. And OMG this and OMG that. That's profane.
Yes.
And the kinds of profanities, I can tell you this, that I'm so grateful by God's grace. He cleaned up my language. When I fell and broke my wrist and had a Colles fracture and my wrist is sliding up my arm a little bit, that hurt.
Yes.
And I did it weed whapping on my neighbor's property.
Yeah.
Not even on my own land.
Yeah.
And I had to walk a third of the mile up to the house to dial to get an ambulance.
Yeah.
And then the ambulance took me to the wrong hospital.
Yeah.
They took me to Green Memorial. Really? If I have a heart attack in the lobby of Green Memorial, you will find me dying crawling toward the door to get anywhere else. That's my opinion. You can have your opinion and no opinion, but that's my opinion. That I wouldn't go there for anything. And so I didn't cuss. I never let one out. And I was thinking, walking up the hill, but the Lord, apparently I'm done cussing.
Glory!
As I'm carrying the weed whacker and my broken arm up the hill to the house, I'm thinking, apparently I'm done cussing on that hot July day when I did that. My sensibilities, and these are personal things with me, you won't hear me say gosh. Some of you know me a long time. You've never heard a gosh, you've never heard a darn, and I don't think you will. Because gosh is euphemism for God, and darn is euphemism for him. So if I'm gosh darn you, I've got a heart problem.
Yes.
And all I'm doing is cussing with euphemisms.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to move away from that kind of stuff. People say things all the time that are acceptable language now. But I don't like it.
No.
Because I know where it came from. And knowing where it came from, so there's words I consider it profane. My job to do what with that which is profane? Shun. That's the word right there. The good old Jehovah Witness shun word, huh?
Good word.
And so you say, well, I don't know. I think you're extreme. Okay, I said it's me. I didn't say it was you.
Yep.
I said it's me. And I try to avoid that kind of business. Doesn't mean a thing to anybody but me and how I'm trying to stand right for the Lord. That's the only ones to whom it matters. And for me, that's quite enough.
Yeah.
So we work toward that end.
Yeah.
I'm to stay away from it. Now, when I hear Christians fast and loose with the Lord's name, when I hear Christians, a whole lot of euphemistic cussing, I just thank the Lord that I used to be there, but am not anymore.
Amen.
It might be symptomatic of Christians who are in a worldly setting to such a degree that they don't realize how much of a bath they're taking in it.
Yeah.
And might want to reconsider some of that. It's getting difficult now. Clark Gable uttered the word damn in a 3.5-hour long movie, and it was headlines in the newspaper.
Yes.
And it was scandalous.
Yes.
Now, aren't you thrilled when that's the worst you hear?
Oh, yes.
And everything. And, you know, when they say the word, we're not lip readers, but you know which one it was that they believe.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. We just live in a dirty place.
Yes.
One of the things that's useful about having a strong assembly of believers is that at least you could come in from out from away from it every once in a while.
Yeah.
And fellowship around people that are like-minded, and when something nice happens, OMG. There was one TV program I kind of liked where they would build houses for people that were in trouble or sin. soon as they built the house and they took the family in, what are you going to hear for the next 10 minutes, the last 10 minutes of the program? Oh my God. And I just, would you say, oh my Jesus Christ, oh my Jesus? You wouldn't, would you?
No.
The three are one.
Yes, they are.
Oh my God, who are you talking about? Are you praying? Are we going to stop the program now? And, oh dear Lord, thank you for this lovely house. I've never heard any of that.
No.
And after two or three of them, six or 12 of them, and the four-year-old, oh my God, I got a swing in my room.
Yeah.
We're so profane.
Yes.
That my not liking that is going to be heard as, he's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
He's crazy. Well, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Call me what you want to. The other word is vain that Paul uses. Not that you're ever going to find any vanity in pulpits.
Oh, no.
Far be it from men of the cloth to ever be proud, puffed up, and vain. What do you think? OMG. That would never happen, right?
Yeah.
I remember when a famous preacher came to town, and there was a young fella. He was with a printing ministry down in Milford, Ohio. And here comes this famous, and you never saw such wing kissing and, oh, can I get you a cup of tea? Or, and you never saw such playing up to a personality in him, the well-known preacher. He was embarrassed by it. Vanity. Just wanting to be recognized by that famous guy, and I'll be the next one to be famous and make a show in the flesh.
Yes.
Paul says, shun that kind of stuff.
Yes.
This may sound silly to you, but when Lester Roloff said, calling me a doctor would be like putting whipped cream on an onion. We've got so many men standing in pulpits who have honorary doctorates, it's almost silly.
Yes.
Scandalous. So much so that the Murphy Robe Company in St. Petersburg, Florida, won't allow a Christian bookstore to order doctor's bars on a robe without the preacher producing his doctoral certificate.
Mm-hmm.
Because they got so many crooks getting the bars.
Yeah, good for them.
And I thought that's quite marvelous.
Yes. It
cut down on my doctor's robe sales. But I thought that was quite marvelous.
Yes.
The pomp and circumstance, the wanting to make a show, the wanting to make a name for oneself. We ought to be doing all that we do for God's glory, not ours.
Amen.
And something you'll see, that some of these folks with more degrees than a thermometer are really lightweights when they open their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who know how to pad a resume.
Mm-hmm.
And once they get done padding that resume, you think they've done everything that ever could be done. And then you hear them talk and you think, well, they've done one thing they haven't done, they haven't learned much.
Yes.
They haven't studied much.
Exactly.
Reverend appears in the Bible one time, and it's God's name, not ours.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's sad that there is so much fleshiness when people want to be reverend and the most reverend and the right reverend. I think the best approach is to be crucified with Christ.
Yes.
And to let the old man go.
Amen.
So vanity, man at his best state is altogether vanity.
Yeah.
I forget what psalm it is. There's a psalm that says that you put man and vanity in the scale. And vanity weighs more than man does.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something to that. It's all Christ. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the and he's the author and the finisher. He's the justice, the justifier. Best thing we could do is die to self and then live as we ought to Christ. So, profane and vain. Think about it. Aren't we all fleshy? Aren't we all wanting to be recognized? Aren't we all... I had when somebody says, well, that was a good job you did.
Oh, yeah.
It's very easy to take the applause. I found out, and I've answered, I don't know, how many dozens, scores of emails from people by saying, thank you for your nice words, but realize I wouldn't have a thing to say were it not for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Were it not for God's word.
Amen.
And put it where it belongs. I'm glad to have something to say. I'm glad to believe what I say.
Yes.
Shun. That is a Jehovah's Witness word. They love it. Mm-hmm. They use it. Mm-hmm. If a man is married to a woman who is not a Jehovah's Witness, after a period of time, he'll be told to shun her and get a divorce.
Yeah.
They'll break families in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shun. Stout word, strong word, profane and vain babblings. Why? Because they move you away from a godly deportment. They move you away from godly understanding. They increase unto more ungodliness. More ungodliness than to be profane is ungodly. And to be vain is ungodly.
Yes.
And they'll bring you more. So, how long a stretch is it if you're profane and you use euphemisms to get just angry enough and use the real words? And isn't what we're really talking about a failure in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 to be thankful?
Yes.
And isn't what we're really talking about a failure to be crucified with Christ? And all we're looking at is a symptom of that.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Exactly.
If there's that hatred, bitterness, and anger that comes out during the tempestuous time, mm-hmm. we've identified something.
Yes.
Isn't it?
That's it.
Wonder why that is. How do we deal with that? How do we crucify that? Because that's what to do with it. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 16, shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Paul is so clear.
Yes.
Back in Colossians chapter 2, he warns against philosophy and vain deceit and the traditions of men. You've got a whole biggest branch of so-called Christianity on planet Earth that counts the tradition of men as one of the three lakes on the milk stream.
Yes.
Tradition, the Bible, the Pope.
Mm-hmm.
Traditions. The joke about the deacon meeting. We've always done it this way. Not funny, really. Just that does happen.
Yeah.
The guy ran in from outdoors, interrupted the deacon meeting. He said, man, there's a storm coming. It's like a tornado. And head deacon said, well, we've never adjourned early. We've always done it this way. When the deacons reconvene in a tent.
Yep.
In 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul is equally difficult. Talking about vain babblings, avoiding profane and vain babblings. What have I just been warned about here in 2 Timothy? Profane and vain.
That's right.
And Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20, ties it to science falsely, so called.
Yes.
Science that identifies something that's true, we don't have any problem with that. It's interesting, however, that it is demonstrable that scientists can be spun in certain directions to have a proclivity towards certain things and against other things.
Yes.
There's been quite a fracas over global warming not being as legitimate as some scientists would have us think it to be, and how it covered their tracks on that kind of business. And there's an agenda calling it fossil fuels when it might not be fossil fuels. It may be generated in the earth. I hadn't heard of abiotic fuel. Now I have. Now I've read a bit about it, and seems to be plausible. I know God made a machine that's worked for 6,000 years so far. So, science falsely so-called. When the Leakeys falsified experiments, when you take a pig and call it a missing link and it's not, Filltown man, when you do those sorts of things of chicanery, when I was a kid, freshman in high school, sophomore, by 7th and 8th grade in grade school, I won my first writing award in high school. The Toledo Blade gave me an award. By getting that award, I knew what people wanted.
That's it.
Nobody had to sit me down and say, right to the left, be socioeconomically egalitarian. Nobody. I wouldn't know what those words meant.
Yeah.
I knew how you won an award.
That's it, exactly.
I knew how you got your picture in the paper or the book you won. So we give a guy who's been in office like 2 weeks and just found the coffee pot the Peace Prize. Just like we gave it to one of the greatest terrorists of all times. And Jimmy Carter. With Anwar Sadat and Yasser Arafat. This is agenda driven.
Oh, yes.
So nobody has to sit down and tell you. But when I won these awards, and when I got this recognition, and when I got more column inches with my byline, I'm being spun by the system. I've written many articles that were better. When I wrote an article about an exchange teacher from South America who was in our school and how we were learning her culture, she was learning our culture. Bingo! I pressed the right button. I didn't know there were buttons. I pressed the right buttons and down came a prize. Next time you write what you're going to write about, well, now you know where the buttons are. So there's a system out there. Ephesians 2 calls it the course of this world. I need to stay out of it.
Amen.
I need to avoid profane and vain babblings. Science, falsely so-called. And by the way, it's oppositions of science.
Yes.
When paleontologists say that of the 2,000 dinosaur species supposedly discovered, at least 600 of them don't exist.
Yes.
Really, the Bible doesn't care one way or the other. It's just interesting that that's science. I've hit it more than once on a radio broadcast. I was driving down Route 35, threw a chicken bone out the window, and a paleontologist came along 1,000 years later and made a 14-story tall, never was a saurus out of it.
Exactly.
In Christian circles, you want to get into vain babblings? profane things and science falsely so-called, the science of textualism. Who was the Greek god Hermes? Why would you call the study of preaching hermeneutics? One of the things that was desirable, supposedly, in Origen back in the 2nd and 3rd century, and in St. Augustine, was how they incorporated Plato and Sophocles and all the great Greek thinkers into Christianity.
Yes.
Really? So a lot of that. The Lord gave a message to one guy and had that one guy stand against the world.
Yes.
And the Apostle Paul ends up writing 13 books of the Bible, and you heard the gospel, if you heard it at all, you heard it from him. There was a fella in the 3rd and 4th centuries named Athanasius. Mm-hmm. And on his tombstone it says, Athanasius against the world. The issue that he was willing to die for was the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Which I say, good for him. Mm-hmm. We can stand some more of that in the Grace Movement. I'm not disinterested in scientific things. I don't want to be ignorant, but I don't want to be well informed on things that aren't so either.
Yeah.
Things that are made up to advance an agenda. You can take pictures of collapsing icebergs every year.
Yes, you can.
Because they collapse.
Yes.
Every year.
Yes.
We best traffic in truth. So Paul warns Timothy about that, and the profane and the vain. Sacrilegious this may sound to you, but I think some of the most profane and vain babblings I've heard have come from pulpits.
Yeah.
Where guys just blather and say stuff, mm-hmm. just to be heard. Joel Osteen has actually had the audacity to write books. Mm-hmm. I think he knows a Bible verse to save his life. And I don't think he knows very many words over three syllables.
Oh, no, not at all.
Profane and vain, showbiz, look at me. And you couldn't find the gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 17. Their word will eat as doth a canker.
Yes.
You see that word canker, and you think of cancer, and you're not far off. Mm-hmm. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, two guys, named specifically.
Oh, Brother McLean, you shouldn't mention that Pastor Jordan teaches racial prophecy.
The Pauline pattern is you do. Mm-hmm. Hmm? Mm-hmm. And if you're for racial prophecy, and you think white folks get to run things, and black folks, they get to fix the tire on the car, and yellow folks, they get to invent religion, then I'm glad to know who you are.
Yes.
Now would be a good time for you to leave.
Amen.
Hmm? Mm-hmm. Paul names names, who concerning the truth averred, saying the resurrection is past already, and they overthrow the faith of some. When you say the resurrection is past already, Paul is writing this in the first century. We're 20 centuries, 19 centuries later, and the resurrection hasn't passed yet. So what Hymenaeus and Philetus had done was what every amillennialist also does, and that is to say, all prophecy has been fulfilled. It's over. We're not looking for anything to happen subsequently. Now, the wrong teaching that Paul is calling to Timothy's attention, I'm going to guess Hymenaeus and Philetus are somewhere close on the scene and they have some influence.
Yes.
I don't think Paul's talking about people that don't matter. I think he's talking about people that do matter.
Yeah.
If I'm right, I know I am, but you might not. If I'm right, the Pauline pattern then would not have me talk so much about Frederick Kansas City Price as the Pauline pattern would have me point to problems in the Grace Book.
Yes. Amen.
When the Brian Searchlight publishes an issue where the first two pages have 62 personal pronouns in the first two pages. When a Grace ministry in Grand Rapids, Bible Doctrines to Live By, sends out a newsletter inviting you to a Tupperware party. I mean, the wheels have fallen off at that point.
Oh, yes.
Not as bad as the wrong teaching that's coming out of Chicago.
No.
Christ not even knowing who he was until he's water baptized at age 30. That is unconscionable.
Yes.
I can tell you stories about Benny Hinn. I've read 3 books on Benny Hinn. I can tell you stories about Kenneth Copeland. I've read books on guy. There's lots of problems out there. But let them solve their problems. Mm-hmm. Most of those people are unsaved. Most of those people are trafficking in lies. And most people pretty well know that.
Yes.
But here within the camp, how about the people teaching you're going to go through the tribulation? Mm-hmm. Realize that has a ramification, that has an impact.
Yes.
So it's likened to a cancer.
Yes, it is.
That over time, over time ruins and overthrows people's faith.
Yes.
Verse 18 of 2 Timothy chapter 2 overthrows the faith of some. Somebody understands the Pauline distinctive, and then somebody comes along and says, yeah, but you're going to go through the tribulation because you're going to be here with Israel, and Israel still has standing. Israel must have standing or you wouldn't be going through the tribulation with them, so give that lesson, give that teaching 6 months to a year, you're no longer Medak, you're no longer Pauline, you're no longer dispensational.
No.
That's where that road has to go. It doesn't go anywhere else.
And you can lose your salvation.
And you can lose your salvation because after all, you're in a tenuous situation where you have to endure to the end because you're in a tribulation. So Matthew 24:13 is in effect. My. Mm. So Paul names and brings them to Tim's attention as examples of wrongly dividing. He just talked about rightly dividing 2 verses earlier. So here comes 2 guys that say it's wrong to say the resurrection is passed already. They've erred to say that, which by the way is how that word is pronounced. It's not erred. It's erred. When people use the word erred, when they use it in a sentence, invariably, they're saying that somebody made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And they make a mistake saying that somebody made a mistake.
Yes.
They erred when they erred. I am picky, aren't I? How do you get along? Make no apologies. I'll be dead soon enough, and then you come up to heaven and complain. After you apologize for how right I've been all this time. Romans chapter 20. Romans. Revelation. If I said Romans chapter 20, I would have heard. Romans only has 16 chapters. Mm-hmm. Revelation chapter 20 In verses 4 and 5, here's John the Revelator, and he saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given to them, and he saw the souls of them that were beheaded. Here's the resurrection.
Amen.
And Hymenaeus and Philetus are saying, been there, done that. It's over. That teaching is out there. It's called amillennialism. The official position of Rome, of the Anglicans, of Reformed Presbyterians, of Church of God Anderson, Indiana, of Disciples of Christ, Lutherans. Martin Luther said, don't call yourself Lutherans. Some of the Baptists, certainly the Greek Orthodox, certainly Churches of Christ, Methodists, Mennonites, Amish when they're not farming. The common denominator to getting that wrong is to fail to believe the Bible means what it says and says what it means,
yes,
to take it literally. Church of God Anderson, Indiana has written books about how there is no such thing as a millennium. Lorraine Boettner, B-O-E-T-N-E-R. That's a man, Lorraine. And many others. The six mentions of 1,000 years in Revelation chapter 20 is said to be allegorical. It just means a general number. It doesn't mean 1,000. It's curious with the day-year theory. You've got 6,000 years and a year of rest, and there's 6 months. A lot of coincidence in the Bible. Just take it as a slogan book. To identify these people, please turn to Matthew chapter 24. I've dealt with any number of amillennialists over the years. Two problems with them. One, they're some of the nicest people you'll ever meet, because they think they're in the kingdom and they have to live Matthew 5, 6, and 7.
So yeah.
Butter wouldn't melt their mouth. They're so busy turning the other cheek, they screw themselves 3 feet into the ground.
Yeah.
Matthew chapter 24. Second problem with them is when you show them the thing in the Bible, they won't believe it because they don't believe anything that's in the Bible. The Bible is merely a book of positive affirmations which you use to help people live a better life. Nothing can be taken literally. Matthew chapter 24, verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verse 34. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. The amillennialist says, see, the generation who was there with Jesus saw everything fulfilled. There's nothing left to be fulfilled. No. Jesus is describing the tribulation and kingdom setting back here in the four Gospels. And he's saying to people contemporaneous with his earthly ministry that this generation shall not pass.
That's right.
So he's pointing down the road. The amillennialist takes that and says, verse 34, it's all past. It's all over. You can read that on R.C. Sproul's website. He uses this verse a lot. So, they'll say to you, understand now, this is somebody sweeter than you've ever been. Butter wouldn't melt your mouth.
Did Jesus make a mistake?
and try to hang you out to dry. Well, that verse is easily dealt with. Jesus is talking about the when of verse 32. When of verse 33. And it's that end time which doesn't happen with the people that are contemporaneous with him. Just as certainly as Peter in Acts chapter 2 quotes Joel chapter 2 about the sun going dark,
yeah.
It doesn't happen. It's going to happen, but it didn't. When Matthew chapter 16 is used to advance the amillennial cause, that the Bible's not to be taken literally and all the prophecy and it's over. Another name for that is preterism.
Yeah.
There's full preterism, there's partial preterism. I mean, we think we're the only group that has arguments within itself. We're not.
No.
There's more flavors of Baptists than there are flavors of ice cream at Basket at Tom and Jerry's. But in Matthew chapter 16, the very last verse, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Well, Matthew chapter 16, all those people are dead now, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Well, since all those people are dead now, since Jesus said these guys standing here won't taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom, doesn't that mean the kingdom's here? I mean,
that's okay.
And the unschooled, you know, their heads bobblehead all the time.
Oh, yeah, that looks right. Yeah, that looks right. I didn't want to believe in a literal creation anyhow. I didn't want to believe in a literal whale with Jonah anyhow. And I didn't want to believe, you know.
I was already embarrassed by all this goofy stuff in the Bible, so okay, it's all over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, that'll play in Peoria.
Oh, yeah.
There be some standing here. We shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Chapter 17, after 6 days, Jesus taking Peter, James, and John. What have I always said to you about a hard verse? Keep reading.
Yeah, yeah.
Read 10 verses ahead, read 10 verses after. 99 times out of 100, you'll solve the hard verse. After 6 days, Jesus taking Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bring them up to the high mountain apart, and he was transfigured. His face is shining like the sun. His raiment was white as the light. Doesn't that match how he looks when he comes in his kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
Revelation chapter 1, verses 22 and 23.
Mm-hmm.
So the men standing here in verse 28 are standing here in 17:3.
Yep.
And he sees Moses, and they see Moses and Elijah, and Peter talks to them. Verse 28 is literally handled in chapter 17, verses 2, 3, and 4.
Yep, absolutely.
Unless, of course, you don't want it that way.
Right.
It's your nickel and you take your choice. So, back to Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 24, in verse 14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Well, if the kingdom's in place now, and there's no prophecy left, does that mean everybody's heard the gospel and everybody's saved now? I mean, what does that mean?
Problem.
Jim Russell, the head of the Amy Foundation, when he wrote his book, Awakening the Giant, made the point that America's a Christian nation. It just needs to be discipled. Remove the word disciple, they just need saved. So round and round and round, the amillennialists, you know, they're so nice, and oh, they're so sweet, and oh, they want to do good, and oh, they want to bring in the kingdom, and oh, they want to live right. When the Church of God enters in Indiana, built its new building out there in Clayton, they built, at the time, $4 million worth of building. That's about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
A little more than that now, probably.
Yeah.
It's got a choir loft, and then it's got the exact same room duplicated to practice in. It's got easily 3,000 people can sit there.
Yeah.
Sound system, six figures. All the accoutrements, all the multimedia devices and presentations. And members of that church, I knew some of them, were mortgaging their houses.
Yes.
And giving the money to the church so that they could build that building. But see, this is the kingdom.
Yep.
I think there's going to be a tribulation, and I think a whole lot of stuff's going to burn.
Amen.
They don't.
No.
I think an assembly of believers ought to be as bare bones and plain and practical. It ought to be not uncomfortable, but it ought to be ordinary.
Yeah.
But if you're bringing in a kingdom, so it's a whole different orientation.
Yes, it is.
I remember one little old couple, they were probably in the early 70s. They paid for their house like 30 years ago. And they mortgaged it. Gave the money to the church.
Yeah.
They're going to die. Who's going to pay the mortgage? You wonder why your insurance rates are what they are. Mm-hmm. It's the church's fault.
Yes, it is. Or shameful.
But they don't think it's perfect.
No. Mm-hmm.
They think they're doing right. They think that they're just expanding and furthering the kingdom. Oh, we need a building that is so huge you can see it from Route 70. Which you clearly can. We know some things that the amillennialists don't. Too many hills in that word. And that is that the Lord Jesus Christ literally came to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9 and literally gave to the Apostle Paul a mystery that had not been known in ages past, Romans chapter 11, verse 11, Romans chapter 11, verse 25. And we operate according to different marching orders now than do they. Interestingly, when Peter was preaching, he expected a literal fulfillment of the prophecies with respect to the tribulation. People who say they're followers of Peter, most notably Roman Catholicism, they deny that. Acts 2 dispensationalism starts the body of Christ with Peter. When you, with really the coming of the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2, verse 3, when you do that, you marry yourself inextricably to Israel in the prophecy program.
Yes, you do.
And there's no way you can come out anywhere else.
No.
I remember 20 years ago complaining to my Baptist friends that if you don't see Paul, there's not a reason in the world for you to not lose your salvation, for you to not be talking in tongues, and for you to not be triple tithing.
Yes.
Now that'll cost you your few remaining Baptist friends.
Yes.
There won't be many left. Now there aren't any. One Baptist pastor from a church on the north side of town came to Grace Bible when we were still on Columbus Avenue. And he came up to me afterwards and he said, "Brother Terry, this dispensational stuff is wonderful. It's the best thing I've ever seen." But you wouldn't dare to teach it to anybody. That's exactly what he said.
Brother Troy Lowry.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what he said. Because there wouldn't be anybody in his building if he taught it. We were invited. There was a church that taught so much hyper-Calvinism it got down to 8 people. In a beautiful little building in Fairborn?
Lovely building.
Yeah, probably seat 150. It was a nice little church and had a full basement down below and just a lovely place, and they wanted me to come and take over. Well, by then, I was too dispensational to be a Baptist. The sign got to come down. You got to drain the tank and plant geraniums and, you know. They'd rather stick with their 8 people.
Yeah.
I scared them half to death. Talking to them about simple things in the book of John, talking to them about simple things, about being complete in Christ. I mean, that's not threatening. Scared them half to death.
Well, we're a little of the Lord, you know.
Yeah, okay.
Now, we could have. They had 8 people on their best day.
Yeah.
We had at the time probably 40.
Yeah.
I could have kept my big yap shut. We could have owned that.
Yeah.
And you put anything to a vote, you know, I would have come out 40 days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you have to sleep nights.
Yes, you do.
That's not how it's done.
Not down here.
That ain't how it's done.
No.
But I'm very pleased we took the tack that we did.
Absolutely.
Folks, ridicule, mid-Acts Pauline dispensationalists and dry cleaners. And I love to throw that right back at them. That means you're a wet cleaner, you're trusting water baptism. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, the amillennialists, the Acts 2 dispensationalists, can't handle with the same alacrity the verses that you can handle.
That's right.
J.C. O'Hare said that one of the greatest blunders of the church was to think that the body of Christ began in Acts chapter 2 where Israel was still an opportunity.
Yes.
You've got guys like Tracy Plessinger and Mark Moma saying that you're going to go through the tribulation. Same thing.
Yeah.
Maybe they were Acts 2 all along and just had a little grace garnishing on their tossed salad.
Yeah.
A fun verse. Jeremiah chapter 18. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that was he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel. You heard that applied to you, that you were in the potter's house.
Yeah.
Oh, is there a church called the potter's house?
Oh, yes, there is.
Really? And that it's you that was in the potter's house.
Yes.
And God saw your sinfulness, and he remade you.
Yes.
And you got baptized and talked in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works in the potter's house. E.V. Jakes is apostolic and he needs baptism or regenerate. The most famous potter's house today would be that one.
Mm-hmm.
The word of the Lord came to me saying, "O house of Israel," for it's not about me after all, "can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand. O house of Israel," O what? "Instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up, to pull down, to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do to them." And at what instant? Let me turn the page. I will speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, and if it do evil in mine sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. God reserved the right with His Holy Spirit to put in place a replacement for fallen Israel.
That's it.
A little flock of Israel.
Yes.
God, just as the potter can see there's a flaw, shall remake it.
Mm-hmm.
So fallen Israel, hear those that receive the Messiah. That's rather like God grafting a wild olive branch. So God always had that prerogative, and that's what we see happen with the little flock of Israel. Peter knew prophecy had stopped.
Yes.
Peter, in 2 Peter, talks about it. And it's an interesting thing. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. Now, the way the Amillennialist gets rid of that is, it was never literal to start with. So it's not that God was slack. But His long suffering to usward. Did I emphasize the word long-suffering enough?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Long-suffering?
Mm-hmm.
It's important.
Yes.
Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief. Will come. It hadn't come yet. This is way past Acts 2.
Mm-hmm.
In the which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Hymenaeus and Philetus said, then they're done then.
Yeah.
And the earth also, why, that's not literal, why, that's not going to happen. Church of God enters it. It's going to come, verse 10. Peter knew it hadn't. So here comes Paul, talking about the long suffering of our Lord, His salvation, even as our brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Verse 16 of 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter didn't understand a lot of what Paul was saying. So, Peter's long-suffering to usward is handled through the Apostle Paul, explaining it to Peter, and by Paul demonstrating the gospel of the grace of God, he is showing God's long-suffering. Paul's the first to see it. You and I shouldn't be as close as we are to being in the early numbers of people who've seen it since Paul. There have been a lot more than us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So when people come to the Bible allegorically and do not take it literally and tell you that all the prophecies behind you and there's nothing left to happen, we're bringing in the kingdom. You're listening to amillennialism. You're listening to preterism.
Yes.
Sometimes it may come from the mouth of a person who's actually post-millennial. But you're not listening to a Bible believer.
No.
You're listening to a person who uses the Bible for his or her agenda. You're not listening to a person who believes the Bible literally in any sense. And I would never jump to the conclusion, personally I wouldn't, that I'm listening to the same person.
Exactly.
They're so confused.
Yes.
If the Bible's not literal, really there wasn't 6 days, it was long periods of time, and really there wasn't 1,000 years in Revelation 20, and really there wasn't a whale. That's just when you're surrounded by circumstance. Spat up in a situation. You know, just make stories out of it.
Yeah.
And then they're going to turn around and tell you they believe the Jewish guy died on the cross, that was God, and paid for their sins. I got a problem with you.
Yes.
Because you didn't believe anything else was literal.
Right.
Suddenly you're going to take the one thing that really benefits you a lot and pretend like you believe that's literal. I hope you do. Because that is what happened.
Yes, it is.
Many, many, many men.